Welcome to We Go There. I'm Lexi.
And I'm Nikki. And our favorite conversations are when someone starts by saying, this might be TMI,
But hey, we go there. Because there's no such thing as having too much information when it comes to your health and wellness.
We dive deep into topics, interview experts, and get answers you need. Because knowledge is power.
And feeling empowered is what we're all about.
So let's go there. Hello and welcome, Marnie. We are so happy to have you. We've been trying to book this podcast for, I'm going to say, at least 6 months. So this is like a momentous occasion and we all made it and we all have sick kids at home, but we're still here.
We're still doing it. I'm proud of us. Marnie,
I think it's actually been a year.
Has it really?
Oh my God. So,
yeah. Lots has happened.
Amazing. I have admired you for many years. I know Lexi has too. You are a mom. You are a holistic nutritionist. You are an author. You're a holistic chef. You are just a wealth of knowledge in the world of health and wellness and nutrition and eating. And we want to dive into it with you today.
Can't wait. Thanks for having me.
You got it.
Thank you.
Where do we start, Lexi?
Where do we start? I mean, eating and pregnancy, right? Like, I feel like there's a lot here because, you know, when you're pregnant, you've got to deal with the fact that there are natural cravings that you're going to have, but you're also trying to fit in all the things that you need to fit in to make sure that you're keeping yourself and baby healthy. And so I feel like for a lot of women, especially first-time moms too, that could be a little bit overwhelming, right? Like navigating some of that. So maybe we start there. And can you just speak to this and like what you suggest for moms and any tips and tricks I think are going to be the most helpful for any of the listeners that are in this place wanting to keep themselves and baby healthy, but also like you gotta give into those cravings, I feel.
For sure. And I believe it kind of starts before you even get pregnant. Like if the foundation is there and you're eating well and eating healthfully and you have lots of good options in the realm of what you eat day to day, not only are you setting yourself up for a healthy pregnancy and hopefully you have some healthy cravings in addition to the ones that are just necessary. You don't have an explanation for them. They're going to come up and they're going to come out of nowhere. It might bring up a childhood memory for some people. It might be just something that you've never actually had. And you're like, where did that come from? Or it might be something that you just don't eat that often. And you're just like, wow, I really need more of that. And sometimes it's related to a nutrient that your body is just craving or needing. But I think, again, if I go back to just, you know, preconception planning or just in life in general, we want to just have a good solid foundation of nutrition. And the likelihood is that you're going to gravitate towards better foods overall. And then when you have room for those extra special treats, it probably, you know, will feel a lot better and you'll feel a lot better. And, you know, you won't be feeling as sluggish and as tired during your pregnancy.
Can I share something?
Sure. I was just going to say, well, we have to do, Nikki, like we have to go round table on like the funniest cravings. Yeah. What are you sharing?
So with my first,
yes,
I'm sharing the fact that I would wake up. I'm talking like in the first probably 12 weeks, I would wake up literally every night when I was pregnant with my first at around 1 to 2 a.m. And I would need to eat carbohydrates. I would eat potatoes. That was my favorite.
Potatoes.
I would literally have like a second dinner. So if we went out or got takeout, I would get two servings, like two orders, and I would have a second dinner at like 1 to 2 a.m.
So you had it on standby because who's cooking potatoes at 1 to 2 a.m.
So
you
not potato chips, like literally a cold potato.
Roasted potatoes, like garlic roasted potatoes, all the oil, all the salt. And if I didn't, I couldn't sleep. I was nauseous. I mean, it didn't happen with my second, but that was the first thing. This is so fun to share.
I know.
And people were like, you know, I remember like, and this is just because it's the reality of it. Like my body gained quite a bit of weight in the first trimester. And, you know, I remember being like way ahead of like the curve when you're at the doctor's office. And they were just like, thankfully they weren't worried about it. Cause I guess, you know, just what I weighed going into pregnancy, but I was like, it's impossible. Like I'm going to throw up if I don't eat my potatoes. And then the other thing was that limonada, San Pellegrino limonada. It's like basically pop, right?
Yes.
I would from Costco, and I would drink like a case in a few days. And then I failed my gestational diabetes test, but that's a whole other conversation.
That was from the banana. That was from the banana.
Yeah, it's true. I failed. Anyways, let's park that because I feel like that's a whole other segue.
Yeah, Lexi, yeah, yeah.
You're at least it was whole food potatoes. Like that's, you know, it's again, true, way better actually. Than potato chips.
I mean, of so all cravings. Like you
and
just
cold potatoes as a resistant starch. Like there's a lot of good things in there and it's satiating. So
yeah, there you go. You were good. Like could have been worse. Okay, so mine with Piper, obviously like vinegar is a big one, right? But like salt and vinegar chips in particular, to the point that I did not have any salt and vinegar chips in my house. And so one night I was craving. And Adam and I, we were, I was pregnant with Piper before our wedding. We ended up having a surprise wedding. And so this was in the first trimester and we had gotten all of these little snacks for like the, you know, hangover bag, quote unquote, like kind of thing that everyone left with from the wedding. And so we got from Freshie, where he's working, these potato chips. And I'd ordered all salt and vinegar potato chips. Like that was what I wanted. So it's like in the evening and he's pulls the car up and I know that it is full of these salt and vinegar potato chips. So I like run out to grab them and it's not. They're regular. There is no vinegar to be found anywhere. And I'm losing it. I'm like, oh my God, like I need them. So I take a bag, I go inside and he's like, what are you doing? And I pour the bowl and I just start pouring vinegar on them,
no.
Shake it up. Like, this is going to have to do it. And I just start eating.
Was that the answer?
No. I mean, it was fine. I did eat it, but like, it was not what I needed. And then fast forward to our wedding night. And the best thing that I came back to that room was like Lacey, my best friend, had put like full bags of potato chips, like salt and vinegar potato chips in our honeymoon suite.
Oh my God.
That night. And I was like, I mean, okay, it wasn't the best thing. Sorry, Adam, but it was the topper, one of the toppers of the night, I have to admit, just diving so right into that bag.
I definitely had salt cravings too. I tended before pregnancy to be more of a sweet person, but my salt and salty tooth definitely came through and I wanted plantain chips. I wanted sweet potato chips. That's kind of what the chips were that I had around, but I ate more of them than I ever did. But my funny story is one night I was craving ice cream or a coconut bliss, you know, the coconut bliss brand. They have ice cream bars that are hard to find. And the strawberry especially is really hard to find. But I knew there was one grocery store on the other side of the city that had them. Drove over there, went there. Of course, they're out of them.
Oh.
But they had plain coconut. And I went and got a jar of jam, of strawberry, like jam, sat in the car, poured the jam on it. And had my strawberry bliss ice cream. And
so
it was,
good. I mean, we are so happy. Creative.
It worked. You made it work.
Oh, made it work.
That ingenious creativity, both
exactly.
Of you.
Oh my God.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
It's true. Those cravings, there's nothing like that, you know? Amazing.
This episode of the We Go There podcast is brought to you by The Bell Method, a fitness company that blends Pilates with pelvic health, creating choreography from science. You might feel overwhelmed at all the abs after baby programs promising to make you bounce back after birth. Or maybe you're feeling unsure of how to exercise in pregnancy and prepare your body for delivery. It can be tough to navigate what information is credible and evidence-based. Women deserve better. I created all of our programs with the guidance of pelvic health physiotherapists, and we continue to evolve our programming to stay current with the latest research. At The Bell Method, we ditch guilt and bring balance to our bodies with programs designed to fit your life stage. We'll help you reduce incontinence, diastasis recti, and prolapse so you feel strong, confident, and empowered throughout pregnancy, postpartum, and beyond. I invite you to enjoy 10% off your first class session with the code WEGOTHERE10. Visit www.thebellmethod.com for more.
So, okay, where do we go from here? So what are the top, I guess, like from a nutrition perspective, like if someone's wanting to make sure they, let's just say pregnant right now, really feeling like they're not maybe sure of like the top things that they should be making sure that they're getting every day. Like they just don't know. Like they feel like, you know what? I'm not sure that I'm eating right for me, for the baby. Like what are some of those top things that you recommend that we need to make sure that we're incorporating into our diet, especially when you're, you know, making, you know, creating life inside of you.
And I just want to give grace to mamas who are in their first trimester, because that can be hard with the aversions and the cravings and nausea and whatever's happening. You just got to do what you can do to get calories in, and hopefully they're better calories. But as you move into the second trimester, that's when you want to start to make, you know, those food investments as the baby starts growing. And you want to make sure that fat, good, healthy fat, salmon, avocado, olive oil, olives, coconut oil, whole cuts of meat, all that stuff, eggs, the whole egg, like with the yolk. Eating all those foods is so essential to the growing baby, your body, your belly, your skin, the baby's brain. It's essential. So fat for sure. And often that tends to go over pretty easy because we tend to gravitate towards fatty foods, especially when we're pregnant. It's like, okay, that sounds good. And just finding ways to slather on, you know, oil or butter or whatever it is to what you're eating, and just up it. Even if you're not that hungry, just increasing it a little bit. And protein for sure too. You are building a human body, and that's made up of protein, and you need to get protein in there. And I think a lot of women underdo their protein in general. And I think even in pregnancy, they kind of don't think, or they think that they're getting enough protein, when really, when you evaluate, it's like, no, you are not getting enough protein. So trying to find pockets during the day, even if it's in a smoothie with, you know, whatever protein powder you enjoy, or hemp seeds or whatever that might be, trying to just up that. And when it comes to carbohydrates, which we definitely all tend to crave during pregnancy, that is probably the number one thing that women gravitate towards. Just try your best to go towards the more wholesome versions of everything as much as you can, and leaving a little bit of room for error. But whether that's, you know, different whole grains that you're cooking from scratch at home, quinoa, wild rice, sweet potatoes. And I find that the squashes and sweet potatoes tend to also go over really well. They're just so nourishing and yummy, and potatoes, like roasting that up during pregnancy for a lot of women, it's just like, yes, I can just eat a lot of roasted veggies. So just finding those whole food sources of carbohydrates is great. And then fruit. And I find some women tend to either be anti-fruit or so craving
citrus. What's with the citrus? Like,
yeah, citrus, just the sour and refreshing. Yeah, it's very, very common. And just, yeah, cold fruit, not just fruit, but cold fruit. Like for me, like a cold apple or frozen berries was like, yes, give me all of that. And then obviously the timing of year, if you're in the middle of the summer, for, you know, depending on what trimester you're in, you can be, you know, more gravitating towards that too. But yeah, citrus and cold is huge. So getting in those micronutrients as well is essential.
So we need to talk about sushi, because I was like a rule follower, right? Like, you know, and then I remember talking to a friend of mine who is a surgeon, and we went out for lunch, and she's like, let's go. And we were both pregnant at the same time, and she got sushi from the food court. And I was like, oh, yes. Right. I'm like, you're a medical professional and you're eating sushi. And then I just felt so like, no, it's okay. And then I was like, wait, pause. Do women in Japan eat sushi in pregnancy? Yeah, they do. And so, of course, this got me thinking. And then I've done polls on my Instagram and a lot of, you know, anyways, it's true that they eat, as you know, raw fish in some parts of the world. So what's your take on the rules to avoid sushi?
Yeah, there's so many rules, and that's just one of them. And I, you know, I wasn't a sushi eater, so that wasn't really a craving for me. But in some of the research that I have done with some of the people I've even spoken to on my podcast, most of the rules are kind of myths. And really, you know,
myths?
It doesn't mean you can't, not so much myths, but just you don't need to worry as much, because exactly what you said, Nikki, like in certain parts of the world, depending on, obviously it comes down to the quality and where you're getting it from. But, you know, any given day, someone can get food poisoning from bad sushi and, you know, crappy storage of the fish. So you want to obviously always be careful with the sourcing, and extra careful, of course, when you're pregnant. You always want to be like, okay, if I'm going to go for sushi, I'm going to go to, you know, the best restaurant and try and get the best sushi as much as possible.
Yeah, I know. It's like, well, the food court.
Man. Yeah, you know, but I wouldn't even worry too much about that. And especially if it's just once in a while, a lot of people are so concerned of, yeah, cheeses, unpasteurized cheese, honey. What else?
Yeah, I had honey throughout. I couldn't. And kombucha, yeah, I drank.
Kombucha too. Is totally fine. Like, if you're starting kombucha, if you're like, oh, kombucha sounds like a great idea and I'm pregnant, I wouldn't start it because it's definitely can disrupt the gut and it's pretty intense. But if you're a kombucha drinker, go for it. You're going to be okay. So there's a lot of the quote unquote rules that are very fear mongering for a lot of mamas, and they feel so limited, and it's kind of, yeah, can be very scary terrain to put meals together. So it's important to be mindful and cautious of, you know, some of the sources of food and the different nutrients. And there's certain, you know, we can go into super detail, but there's, you know, certain interactions with certain foods or certain nutrients that, you know, for absorption that you want to watch for. You might want to make sure you're getting enough calcium. But for the most part, I'd say those major ones, I wouldn't worry too much about.
Yeah, like egg yolks, another one too.
Yeah, oh, like making sure you cook your eggs all the way through and don't have them runny at all. I haven't seen, there's a book by Lily Nichols, and I interviewed her on my podcast too. She really talks a lot about this. The name of her book is escaping me now, but we can link that up.
Yeah,
we can send you the link to that. So she's got a lot of that where she breaks down each one of the different ones, and egg yolks being one of them. Because, yeah, a good runny egg yolk while you're pregnant is so delicious. So I did that.
I think it's real food for pregnancy, if I am not.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, real food for pregnancy.
The sushi thing's throwing me. Like, Nikki, I wish we had talked about this when I was pregnant with the twins.
It's my dirty secret. No, I'm kidding.
No, do you know what my post-labor meal is?
Yeah.
Sushi and a Guinness. Like, I literally, like, crave it my whole pregnancy, and I am a rule follower. So that's the problem. It's like, that is who I am at by nature. I follow rules. So it's like, no sushi, da, 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 da. Anyways, I did the cheeses though. Like, I was pretty like lax on cheese, I guess.
And if I was guiding you during your pregnancy, Lexi, I'd say be mindful of how often you have sushi. Don't maybe have it like a lot of people have it, you know, once a week or a couple times. Like, definitely still enjoy it as a treat, because you still want to watch the toxicity of mercury and heavy metals and stuff. You are growing a human. But I wouldn't, if you know, if there was a couple dinners in there that would have included sushi during your pregnancy, you'll be okay. You know, it comes down to caffeine too. Like, that's a very big very controversial and difficult one to navigate for a lot of women. And I'm not a coffee drinker, but I'm a matcha drinker. And during the first trimester, I moderated, pretty much avoided it. But second trimester, third trimester, I, you know, had my little dose of it. I was mindful and cautious, but it was there. And then there was a certain amount of coffee that can be consumed as well. But drinking the same amount of lattes that you would be while you're not pregnant, no, again, just being mindful. So I just want to preface that with just mindfulness with it all, because you are growing a baby.
The matcha thing. Okay. So I also switched to matcha green for those people listening. It's like a green tea powder, and you make matcha lattes and all that stuff. So I drank a lot of it. I don't know, moderating it.
Are you off coffee, Nikki, altogether then?
No, I am now. No, I am 100% back.
Oh, sorry. When you were pregnant, I thought you were pregnant.
I did. No. You even know. No. But I
was very. I was very thrown.
No. So I switched to a little bit more matcha, and I still think they had the odd espresso. But side note, I went to the dentist, and she was like, "What is this green stain on your teeth?" She's like, "What are you eating?" She's very intense. I love her, my hygienist. Her name's Agnes. Shout out to Agnes if you listen to this. Love you. She's like, "What is this? I have to get it off," trying to like polish it off. And I was like, "I don't know. What am I drinking new right now that's green?" Finally, I was like, "Oh, it's matcha." She's like, "If you want white teeth, you must not have much." She was very like, "Listen, you can have it, but it's worse than coffee, tea, wine. Like, it stains your
teeth." Wow.
Apparently more than literally.
Interesting.
Anything. Yeah.
Huh. Oh my gosh. That makes me so nervous now.
Interesting. Yeah. We'll use a straw maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to use a straw. I'm surprised over coffee. I mean, and wine. That's funny.
Yeah. So many myths to bust. So this is, I mean, you probably have some blog articles about this, don't you, Marnie? Maybe?
not over the last couple of years. I've definitely let my blog go in relation to pregnancy and stuff, yeah. But podcasts, yes. A lot of episodes on my podcast that relate to this topic, especially the one with Lily Nichols. And there's a couple others I've spoken to as well that have talked about.
To link that in the show notes. I think that would be really interesting for people listening. Yeah.
Lexi here. Okay, so let's shift to another under the radar, not so hot topic for a minute. Body hair. Everyone's got it, but a lot of us want to live smoother. Am I right? 10 years ago, I started Wax On Laser and Wax Bar. Wax On isn't just any waxing and laser hair removal bar. We are the industry leader, creating a safe space that inspires people to live confidently in their own skin. Over the years, we've developed trust. Trust that you know you're getting the best quality and comfortable experience every single time. Whatever you come to Wax On for, it's going to be awesome. We've created our own exclusive gold wax formula that's like no other. It's as pain-free and long-lasting as it gets, perfect for all your waxing needs. At Wax On, we've invested in top-of-the-line laser technology that's effective on virtually any hair and skin tone for effective results on every body. Seriously. And we carry a carefully curated collection of products. Some we make ourselves, locally, I might add, and some are from brands we've fallen in love with that adhere to our values and standards of clean, good for you, and female founded. If you haven't experienced Wax On, I invite you to enjoy 20% off your first service with code WEGOTHERE. Visit waxon.ca or download the mobile app to book in with code WEGOTHERE, because there is such a thing as a better hair removal experience to help you live smoother.
There was also one more question I wanted to ask you around vitamin A and cod liver oil in pregnancy, because side note, I had two, one was a naturopathic doctor and one was a holistic nutritionist. And I was advised by one to, yes, cod liver oil is great in pregnancy. And the other one was like, absolutely not. This is too much vitamin A. It's toxic. And they both got into we were all on this email thread and it got very kind of heated because they're both my professional guidance. You know, they're guiding me and they both were, mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do. I ended up not taking
What did you do?
I just ended up taking a different kind of fish oil, like an omega-3 mix, but it wasn't cod liver oil. I didn't feel confident in the decision because they couldn't agree. But what are your thoughts on that?
I took cod liver oil, and from the research and resources that I have, taken in, have all been in support of cod liver oil. And being mindful of other sources of vitamin A you may be taking, if you're also taking a prenatal and all these different things, watching, the amount. But granted, a lot of people tend to miss a day here and there of taking their supplement. I knew that I was taking my cod liver, but did I take it every day? No, not necessarily. So I am definitely a fan of that, and definitely while you're breastfeeding as well too, because it's so important for the baby to get those nutrients.
Yeah, I still take my cod liver oil. I haven't stopped.
I should get on that again.
Yeah. I don't take it straight up. My kids do. I take the capsules.
Oh, the capsules. Your kids take, oh, wow.
Straight up. And I don't know how.
Amazing. I should get the twins on that now. That's probably how.
But is it better than the regular Nutri-C fish oil? I think it's made with mackerel or sardine and stuff. What's better?
You can also rotate. So sometimes we'll do that. We'll do cod liver for a bit and then we'll do fish oil, or we'll have both open and we'll kind of rotate both. So both are great. You are getting different, the cod liver oil is definitely concentrated with vitamin A and D. So there's room for both, I think. I wouldn't say one necessarily all the time over the other.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You got it. Okay. Mental notes. Getting my phone out, writing down what I got to go buy. Oh my goodness. There's so much to talk to you here. And selfishly, I'm kind of I want to ask you advice for what I, but I'm not going to do that. I want to keep this general and beneficial for everybody. What do you think is, I wanted to talk a little bit about the folic acid versus folate thing, just to clarify it for people, because I know a lot of the listeners will have been told you need to take folic acid, preventing the neural tube defects. And I've also heard other people say, well, you need to make sure you're taking the right kind, don't just get the random one from local CVS or Shoppers Drug Mart. So can you talk a little bit around this whole push for folic acid and what's the sort of your take on all of that?
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of the information is, in a general sense, amongst the medical practitioners, is to take folic acid, which is a synthetic form. So the body does not absorb it as well as folate. And if you can get that in a methylated form, there's a lot of really good prenatal vitamins that, yeah, aren't available at Shoppers or CVS. You have to order them and sometimes pay duties, especially here in Canada. There's two brands needed, and mom brain, right? I can't even think right now. The other one that I took, I'll link it up in the show notes or come to me in 2 seconds.
The NSF? Was it the NSF one?
No. Oh, the NFF, the NFH one? Or is that one?
That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah, that one's good too. But no, this is the one from, why can't I think of it? Anyways, I have it upstairs. I may have to pull it down. But there's two really good ones that have a methylated form. And so, and there are other brands too. I think there's a couple other companies as well too. But if you want to look for the 5-methylfolate, whatever it is, but as long as it's a folate and it's sometimes sourced from vegetables, it's your body can absorb it. And that's what you want to make sure is getting dosed into your body and helping your baby grow. So
not folic acid, folate. You heard it here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I think that's something that a lot of people aren't educated on in terms of they're not told that by their provider.
Yeah. No, they're not. And you're going to get that information typically from a naturopath or a functional medicine doctor. Yeah.
Okay. Folate. Got it. What else? Lexi?
I feel like we had something, there was something in here around fermented foods. Was I wrong around that? Or can you talk about fermented foods in general and benefits of it? And then one other thing that I'd love for you to touch on is, just because you mentioned your kids take cod liver oil, is like some of the top things that are great foods to just incorporate into your kids' diets as well. I think that would be a good little thing to add in here as well.
Sure. And the other company came to me, Seeking Health. So I just want to make sure I close that loop.
Amazing.
Okay. So fermented foods are incredible. And if you can get your fermented probiotic rich sources through foods, it's ideal because those strains are going to be so much more potent and bioavailable when you're getting them through foods. But that doesn't mean don't take any probiotics. Those are definitely essential and certainly during pregnancy. But fermented foods from sauerkraut, yogurt, whether it's coconut yogurt or whole yogurt, Greek yogurt, kombucha, preferably a homemade brew or a company that's doing it, you know, really well. There's a lot of local companies, you know, making really good kombucha, water kefir, milk kefir, miso. We could go on. There's a lot of different forms of fermented foods, but getting them in, it doesn't have to be a lot. That's the beauty of fermented foods. It can be a couple of bites, a couple of ounces, a couple of sips, and you're going to get a whack of strains of probiotics into your gut, which is so healthy for your microbiome, for your birth canal, for your baby. And it's wonderful. So pregnant, not pregnant, postpartum, try and get fermented foods in whichever form feels good for you. And yeah, fermented foods are also great for kids. So I find the earlier you introduce them, the more of a palate they have for them. Like if you can introduce sauerkraut when you're doing solid foods, is a great addition to your baby's microbiome into their diet. And they tend to like sour foods. So, you know, my kids would eat just like a little bits of sauerkraut with their eggs or whatever it is. Do they eat it as much anymore? No, now that they've, you know, kind of hit the 14-month over mark. That's when things really start shifting. I can sometimes get it into my son still, but early on, if you can get, you know, the fermented foods in and yogurt's typically an easy one. So, you know, coconut yogurt or Greek yogurt for kids, they tend to like that. And my daughter, now that she's almost four, she's been asking to try kombucha whenever Jesse and I have. And I've been like holding off, but the last few times I've let her have it and she loves it. So give her like a little teeny little shot glass of it. And I'm like, you know what? The only reason why I resist is, you know, like the little bit of sugar and a little bit of caffeine. It's so minute, so it's not really affecting her, but she's also getting a nice whack of probiotics too. So if that's how she's going to get some probiotics in, sure. I do that now once in a while, a couple times a week. We maybe give her a little shot of it. And other foods to introduce early on is kind of similar to during pregnancy. You want to go high fat and as close to nature in terms of the animal products as well too, and wild food, so whole eggs. And then there's extreme things such as chicken liver. Like, these are first foods that are highly recommended that I have subscribed to, and I truly believe are just really good, a great foundation for a baby to start on. So I started my kids both on egg yolks and grated chicken liver. And then I went into sweet potatoes and bananas and things like that, and bone broth. So starting their foundation really strong is key. And then as they get older and you're seeing the pickiness start and you want to try your best to get as much whole foods in there, you just got to try and work with them a little bit and try and gravitate towards the happy balance of, you know, getting the fresh fruits and vegetables in as much as you can amongst all the crackers and all the other stuff that piles in there. But yeah, protein is so, so, so important for kids. And I find that the younger they are, the more inclined they are to eat animal protein, which is so different from what is educated to mamas. Because a lot of doctors will say, you know, get them onto a rice cereal or put them onto carbohydrates and rice first, when really they should be on animal protein. And that is the time to eat, because they're probably going to dwindle down, especially I've noticed with both my kids. You know, after two, they're like, meh, I don't really want meat. But if you can get it in the first 2 years as much as possible, just to build that foundation while their body's growing so rapidly, it's key. And then if they have a couple nibbles here and there at the dinner table, then it's like, okay, at least I know that I got like a good year and a half of good quality meat into them. And then, because the carbohydrates now come in full force, so you don't want to have to start them on carbohydrates and then have them, you know, go till five just on this whole carb diet. So trying to balance that with the whole foods, if that makes sense.
Totally. Great tips. A little too late with the twins, but maybe I'll try sauerkraut tonight.
You can also cook it into things. Like if you're making like eggs, you can just like, you know, at the end, you can kind of cook it in. You can. Like, I know there's a lot of like, oh, but don't cook. Especially put it in at the end, as long as they're getting a little bit. Or you can like sneak sauerkraut juice into different things, or put them into, I know people have put like kimchi into pancakes. So there's different ways to kind of get it in versus just here's a fork full of sauerkraut. But they might surprise you. They might be like, this is good because it's sour and crunchy.
It's like spinach. Like, you just hide it in everything. My go-to has just always been smoothies, because I can just throw everything in. And at least I know, like, one meal, like, I nailed it. And that's it.
The
rest is going to be like out the window, but like one meal, they got it.
Throw a tablespoon of yogurt in your smoothie. You might be doing that already.
Yes.
So they're getting probiotic that way too. Doesn't have to be sauerkraut.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, this has been so helpful. I love all these tips and tricks. My favorite part has definitely been going around and sharing cravings. That was hilarious. And I'm pretty proud of ourselves, because we had very few. I mean, I had one interruption, but we pretty much nailed it with kids being home.
I want to ask you one more question, maybe to wrap up, Marnie. If you could go back to your pregnant self, like when you were pregnant with your first baby, what would you say to her?
Don't worry so much. Like, really, everything was just so new. And even though I had done so much preparation mentally and physically, and I feel like I, you know, did a great job. I had a really incredible pregnancy and a very long delivery, but a good delivery, but very, very long labor. And then the postpartum was, it was great. I loved it, but there was a lot I didn't know, and that came, you know, kind of was thrown at me. And yeah, and I was just doubting myself and just asking so many questions to my support people in my life and looking into things in a different way. Oh, and I was getting fear-mongered by my midwives because my baby wasn't growing enough. Like, there was just so much going on. And then going into my second and delivering my second, it was just like night and day, how confident and how assured I was of what I was doing, and knowing that I had the tools and resources to bring this baby up without so many voices coming at me. So yeah, I don't know. I was just, and I wasn't terribly worried during my pregnancy, but it was just, yeah, I guess it's more postpartum that I'm thinking about with the stress I had with my baby gaining weight. That was a big part.
Yeah. So I guess the message for anyone listening is to trust yourself.
Trust yourself. Yeah. Trust your body. Trust your body's wisdom. Trust your intuition. Trust that you've got this. You've got this innate mama bear wisdom in you. And it is hard with any first time mom. Like, you just want to do what's right. And you think you know, but you also want to trust the people who are helping you. You're like, okay, well, they know better. And which makes us doubt ourselves and makes us doubt what feels right to us, whether it's when you're going to deliver, whether you're being told you need to induce, whether you're being told that you need to go to the hospital, whether you're like, whatever those voices are coming in, what is feeling right for you with all that information so that you can make an informed, comfortable choice in that is just so, so, so important, because it's very loud and it can be really hard to navigate that.
Education, sure. Too, right? Getting all the information and making an informed decision. I love this. Preach, my friend. It's like a loudspeaker over here. Informed, making the choice, right?
Yeah.
That feels best for you.
I could speak for hours on that. I love talking about that.
you and Nikki, you guys could go on forever. Advocate, preach, all the things. So great. Well, thanks for coming on. And where can everyone find you?
You can find me at marniewasserman.com and also over at Instagram at Marnie Wasserman. And the Ultimate Baby Podcast is where I have had Nikki on the show, and Lexi, you'll be coming out soon. And that's where I have all conversations under the umbrella of doing your best to navigate a natural pregnancy, postpartum, raising infant and toddler. And I've had a wide variety of amazing guests and experts come on to speak.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Marnie. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for our next episode. And in the meantime, follow us on Instagram at WeGoTherePodcast and check out WeGoTherePodcast.com for more info.